Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namashreshtam Manamapi Shachiputram Atra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Gurupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhava Sham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Sri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yatah Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavans Chasri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamascha. Few words on pronunciation, as we are daily reciting various verses and prayers, if we actually want to do this to please Krishna and his representatives, we can pronounce in the proper way. Otherwise we might be understood. As for instance, if we say Namaste Sarasvati Devi, then instead of praying to Prabhupada, or instead of glorifying Prabhupada, we're glorifying the Sarasvati Devi, the demigod, demigoddess. So, Sarasvati Devi. This morning I pointed out how devotees generally chant Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram, which becomes a prayer to Durga. Little difference. Tanuja means Nanda Tanuja is Krishna. Nanda Tanuja is Durga. So, makes a lot of difference. You might end up back in the material. What happened? I came back to the material. Well, you prayed for it. You asked for it. Also, we have the famous Gadadhara or Gadadhara. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate associate, his actual name is Gadadhara. Sri Advaita Gadadhara Gadadhara. So, bhakti means that we're trying to please Krishna, and that the least we can do is to say his name properly. Just like if I know you for so many years and still I pronounce your name wrongly, it doesn't show much care or feeling. Today I'm going to speak on the subject of kirtan. Specifically, I'm taking up this topic because just as in India and pretty much all the countries of the world, everyone is imitating the West, particularly America, so also in America, some people imitate some things from India. Better they follow what's in India than Indians follow what's in America. Of course, there are some good things in India, in America, that Indians could follow, such as not throwing garbage here, there, and everywhere. That's part of modern Indian culture. That also happens in the West, but it's not so intrinsically part of the culture as it is in India. What do you think? The civic cleanliness is much better in the West. Personal cleanliness is better in India, but civic cleanliness is much better in the West. So yoga has become popular in the West, or what people call yoga, exercises, and not the actual process of yoga, which means to link with the Supreme. But the exercises at least have become popular, and some impersonal understanding of Vedic knowledge has become to a much lesser extent popular in the Western world. So now kirtan and bhakti are among followers of yoga. Some of them are becoming interested in bhakti and kirtan. Not surprisingly, in a not proper, I'm not talking about followers of Srila Prabhupada here, but I'm talking about the general Mayavadi yoga followers. Among them, there are many of them. Some of them are among them, Manushanam Sahasreshu, out of thousands among men, quite a few practice yoga. And of those who practice yoga, just a few are interested in the spiritual aspects. And those who are, some of them are becoming interested in kirtan and bhakti, but not in the proper authorized way. So I'll speak about that. They had last year, near to San Diego in California, was organized the first bhakti festival as a commercial venture, where all kinds of Mayavadis, not even Maya, American so-called, I mean, they're not even up to the standard of Indian Mayavadis, so you can imagine how pathetic it is. It's like a perverted reflection of a deviation. There was some controversy among our devotees whether we should... Some went there and mingled with them and made friends with them with the idea that gradually we'll influence them in this way. Others were not so convinced, because generally we see when our devotees say that we'll mingle with others and we'll influence them, generally we find that our own devotees become more influenced by the people they're supposed to be influencing. Because if we don't act fully in bhakti, if we let down our guard, if we don't speak the actual truth of Krishna consciousness and act on that platform, then immediately we're compromised. And even though internally we may not be, by going on like that, again, by acting in a role which is not that of pure devotion, then our pure devotion becomes compromised, which is why many devotees who are working in jobs find it particularly difficult to be Krishna conscious, because while you're working in your job, you're not allowed to be overtly Krishna conscious. And you have to pretend to be interested in making money for the company and all this kind of thing. So, yeah, I was in America just at the time that festival was going on. I found out about it the day it finished. And I suggested I could speak about pure bhakti and pure kirtan, and this could be transcribed and made into a book. So a devotee in America showed some interest in that. So I already spoke on pure bhakti in summary. Now I'll speak about pure kirtan. Kirtan is the yuga dharma, the prescribed, in the Vedic literature, the prescribed method of God realization or self-actualization, to use a trendy term, in the modern age. In the modern age we mean that there are vast cycles of time. The present cycle of time we're in is called Kali Yuga. It lasts for 432,000 years, of which we have passed 5,000 years. Krite yadhyayato vishnum tretayo yajato makhai dvapare paricharyayam kalotad hari kirtanat. Whatever results were achieved in the first age, the golden age, the age of truth, by meditation, whatever results were attained in the second age, the silver age, the Treta Yoga, by ritual sacrifices, whatever results were achieved in the Bronze Age, in the Dwarapa Yuga, by temple worship, is achieved in this Kali Yuga, the Iron Age, the present age, by the process of Hari Kirtan. This age of Kali is degraded. Prayanalpa ayusha sabhyo kalavasmin yuge janaha mandasu manda matayo manda bhagya hi upadruta. In this iron age of Kali, men have short lives. They are unlucky, dull. They're generally bad. The tendency is for them to be bad, unlucky, of disturbed mind, and particularly they're subject to so many disturbances. So this is the situation of Kali Yuga. Tatascanu dinam dharma satyam shocham shamadaya kalena balina rajan nankshantyayur balam smritihi. In Kali Yuga, with the passing of every day, dharma, religious principles, truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, tolerance. Tolerance here doesn't mean tolerating in the modern sense. Tolerance means you just let people do whatever they like, but it means tolerating disturbances to oneself, not becoming unduly agitated by the inevitable disturbances of this material world. Lifespan, bodily strength, and mental strength, ability to remember, these all become reduced. With every day, Kali Yuga gets worse. So these are symptoms of Kali Yuga. But there is an easy process for God realization in this age. By austerity, by yoga, by performing elaborate rituals, it's not possible to do these things properly in Kali Yuga. Therefore, by kirtan, a very simple process, everyone can achieve perfection. Haren nama, haren nama, haren nama eva kevalam. Kalau nasceva, nasceva, nasceva gatiranyata. In this Kali Yuga, there is no other way, no other way, no other way, but to attain the ultimate destination, but to chant the names of Hari, the names of Hari, the names of Hari. Kirtan means glorification. The well-known word kirti, which means glories or fame. So to glorify someone is called kirtan. So that may be by speaking. If we speak to glorify someone, that's called kirtan. By writing, we can glorify someone. By distributing literature, we can glorify. By the way, there are so many devotees here who may remain here this morning. There are so many apartment buildings around here, so you can go out door to door. Have you covered all these apartment buildings around here? Okay. Then go again with the children. Let the children sell the books. Children are good preachers. Let them all be filled with Prabhupada's books. So there are various ways of kirtan. And in a broader sense, in any way one acts in the service of Krishna that comes to the attention of others, that can be called kirtan. So making beautiful temples for Krishna, that is also assisting the kirtan, or that could also be called kirtan. But kirtan is generally considered to be chanting the names of Krishna, are singing in glorification of Krishna, singing or speaking. Kirtan, japa, that can also be called kirtan. That's also one kind of kirtan. To chant softly on beads as a personal meditation on the holy names of Krishna, that can also be called kirtan. But generally, kirtan is understood to mean singing about Krishna, and usually that means sankirtan. Sankirtan means in a group and with instruments. This is generally when we say kirtan, we understand this to mean kirtan. So I've been saying about kirtan of Krishna, but of course, well, that's from Shastra. Hare Nama, Kalodhad Hari Kirtana. That Krishna is to be glorified, and we find also, especially in North India, in areas where Rama Bhakti is popular, then Rama Kirtan is popular. So Hari means Krishna, Rama, Vishnu, Narayana, Narasimha, Hayagriva, all these different forms of the Lord. Later, people have introduced Kali Kirtan, Ganesh Kirtan. But actually, Kirtan means for the glorification of Krishna, because he is the proper object of glorification. Yesterday, the question came about demigod worship. We can offer respect to them, but one item or one consideration in offering respect, we'll find this word given in Shastra, yathochit, as is suitable, yatha yogya, as is suitable. So we offer respect to people as is suitable. Just like if the prime minister of the country comes, we also act respectfully toward his bodyguards and his secretaries. But the main honor, of course, goes to him. If the prime minister comes with his secretaries and bodyguards and we give the main attention to one of the bodyguards, that becomes offensive. It's not that we should insult the bodyguards. We should respect them, but not to a limited extent. Whereas the prime minister, he is the actual object of respect. This is, of course, a mundane example. And actually, the bodyguard himself would feel very uncomfortable if you would glorify him so much, unless he's a fool. So in the same way, demigods, we offer them respect because they're in relationship to the Supreme Lord. But the main object of glorification is the Supreme Lord. And if we divert our glorification to the demigods and praise them, we speak to the bodyguard, oh, you are guiding our country, you're doing so much for our country, it's just wrong, it's incorrect. It's foolishness. And it won't give the same result as glorifying the actual prime minister. The bodyguard can't do for us whatever we want to get from the prime minister. And the prime minister will feel insulted. So the actual object of glorification, first of all, that should be understood. Sometimes at official functions, some confusion may arise. I've experienced this, that sometimes you're at some official function and you see someone is asked to garland the chief guest, and then who is it actually? They're not sure who it is. If you garland the wrong person, it's a faux pas it's a social blunder. One devotee in Bangladesh just told me he was talking about this. There's one sannyasi in our movement who preaches in Bengal, who's very thin. And in Bengal, they have the idea that a guru should be very fat. Do they have this idea here also? The main symptom of a guru is they should be heavyweight. So he was invited to some function, and he went with one brahmachari who was also in saffron, who was big and fat. And all the people were offering respect to his assistant. They thought he was the guru. So it became an embarrassing situation. We should know, first of all, who is the proper object of glorification. Of course, the Mayavadis, they say that, well, whoever you glorify, it's all the same, because all are equal manifestations of the same Supreme. So just whoever you like, or you don't even have to glorify any different god, you can glorify some pig in the street. But it's not the same. It's not all the same. There is the Supreme. That is Krishna. That is delineated in all these shastras. So, kirtan, real kirtan is for Krishna. Krishna kirtan. He is the actual object of glorification. Glorification may be to others in relation to Krishna. But we should know what is the actual relation. What is that? Sambandha janaya abhiman hau dur. Sambandha janaya bhajite bhajite. Abhiman hau dur. That if we, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if we perform bhakti with knowledge of our proper relationship with Krishna and with everyone else, then abhiman hau dur. The false concept of who we are, a false understanding, that will dur. It will go far away. So, kirtan is meant for Krishna. There are various processes of worshipping Krishna by meditation, sacrifice, deity worship. In Kali Yoga, kirtan is recommended. That is an easy process. It's a joyful process. And actually, it is the best process in any age. Because that is direct glorification of Krishna. Joyful. Krishna is joyful. Other processes, they are formal or ritualistic. So that is suitable for glorifying Vaikunthana. But for glorifying Nanda Tanuja, the son of Nanda Maharaj, who is simply joyful and informal, then this process of kirtan, singing the names, is most suitable. Singing the names, and also Krishna is known by his nama, guna, rupa, lila, names, forms, qualities, pastimes, and then connected with his pastimes are his devotees. So, kirtan of all, glorifying Krishna in all ways, verbally by kirtan. This is the culture of kirtan. This is the natural expression of devotion. Bhakti means there must be kirtan. Bhakti, the seed of course, in bhakti there are various activities. Shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, smaranam, pada sevanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakhyam, atma nivedanam. There are various activities. Hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, worshipping or serving the feet of Krishna, offering deity worship, offering prayers, identifying oneself as the servant of Krishna, identifying oneself as the friend of Krishna, and completely surrendering oneself to Krishna. But the impetus for all of these, all activities, begin in the heart. Especially on the pure platform, all activities begin in the heart. So, in the heart, if there is love for Krishna and feeling for Krishna, then naturally that will manifest as kirtan. Actual kirtan does not require a beautiful voice, but it requires a pure heart, the pure desire to glorify the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna. I think one chair, you can bring one chair. So if the heart is pure with love for Krishna, then naturally kirtan will come. One naturally likes to glorify Krishna. It's a natural process. By speaking, and then when one is deeply absorbed in thinking of the glories of Krishna, then in the inspired mind, the mind that is inspired by Shuddha Sarasvati, the energy, the potency of Krishna, of Krishna's Jnana Shakti, his potency of knowledge, then that will manifest, that one will glorify Krishna in various poetic ways. Poetry means a manifestation of the pure heart. And the language, as I was touching on yesterday, by language one will glorify Krishna. It's not arbitrary that Sanskrit is the best language. It's not just an opinion. But this language is especially meant for glorifying Krishna. So the very structure of the language is suitable for glorifying Krishna and for composing poetry. Poetry is not composed on the mental or intellectual platform, but that is a natural outpouring of the heart of the learned devotee in glorification of Krishna. Then when poetry becomes more intense, then it is not simply recited by speaking, but that will become singing. And then singing will give rise to dancing. So dancing is the ultimate expression of ecstasy in relationship to Krishna. And Krishna himself is dancing. There was a famous German philosopher, atheist. Actually, in some ways you can say that anyone in the West who's somewhat intelligent, in some ways you could say this is true, they will become an atheist. Because the idea of God that's been marketed in the Western world is so horrible that anyone would feel disgusted, that there's this person who creates others and gives them one chance, and then if you get it wrong in one lifetime, you're thrown into hell to burn forever. Really nasty person. Like the worst terrorist you could imagine. Actually much worse than Hitler. They complain about Hitler, but their idea of God is someone who creates you, and then if you don't get it right, if you don't join the right church, if you're not born in the right church, you happen to be born in India in a Hindu family, then you have to burn in hell forever. Horrible idea. So it's not surprising that people in the West become atheists. So he was an atheist, and this Nietzsche, his name, he said that sarcastically, he said, "I would believe in God if he would dance, in a God who would dance." So he didn't know. God is, he doesn't do anything else except dance. That's his main activity, is dancing. He came too early, Nietzsche, to get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. No, he's dancing. Krishna is dancing. And the devotees are dancing. And the topmost expression of love for Krishna is dancing. So from the pure heart comes the desire to glorify, which is expressed as words, which manifest as poetry. One of the qualities of the devotees mentioned by, that's given in Srimad Bhagavatam and again by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is devotee is naturally poetic. So poetry becomes enhanced to song, and song becomes enhanced to dancing. So this kirtan culture of chanting and dancing was especially developed in Bengal, because Krishna, he dances, but he finds that the devotees who are dancing with him, they're more ecstatic than he is, because he is the agar, or the, what's the word, receptacle of all beauty, charm, kindness, mercy, all desirable qualities. Therefore he's called Krishna, which means all attractive. But the devotees who are dancing with Krishna, they can appreciate Krishna, whereas Krishna can't appreciate Krishna, because he's Krishna. So he becomes a little frustrated when he sees that the devotees, they're enjoying something which I can't enjoy. They're enjoying me, and I can't enjoy me because I am me. So Krishna himself comes again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a devotee, to relish how sweet is Krishna. And he dances. Krishna dances, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also dances in kirtan. But there's a different mood. One is the mood of the dancer. Krishna is dancing, enjoying all the beautiful gopis, cowherd girls who are with him, who are all expansions of his pleasure potency. That dancing is indescribable. The music, the song, indescribable. And then again he comes, the supreme enjoyer, Rasa Vilasi, the enjoyer of the Rasa dance. He comes again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to enjoy Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Bengal, and that kirtan culture of singing the names of Krishna, singing about Krishna with dancing, that is very prominent in Bengal and Orissa, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu domiciled for 18 years, 18 plus 6. And particularly throughout North India, we find kirtan culture is widespread. The dancing is more in Bengal, but the kirtan culture, glorifying Rama, glorifying Krishna, that is widespread. In South India also, but the South Indian Vaishnav culture tends to be more formal, so we won't find so much inclination to informally dance. That culture is very widespread. Yeah. In Bengal, I'll divert a bit into Bengali kirtan culture. Because it has developed as a very elaborate culture, although in many ways it's spontaneous and simple. But it has developed into a very elaborate culture, which unfortunately, like much of the culture in India is just being lost day by day. And all over the world, traditional cultures, traditional languages, they're all being steamrolled under the McDonald's, Hewlett Packard, Coca-Cola, bubblegum culture coming out of Hollywood and other degraded parts of the world. But the Kirtan culture of Bengal was developed very elaborately with Nama Kirtan, Guna Kirtan, Rupa Kirtan and Leela Kirtan. The various kirtans specifically for glorifying these different aspects of the Lord. Nama Kirtan is all or almost all names of the Lord. In connection with his, because he has many names, names of Krishna, in connection with his qualities, pastimes, activities, associates. So that may be all names of the Lord. Just like Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. It's only names of the Lord. Some of the names may be very long. Yamuna Tiravanachari. That's another pronunciation. It's Yamuna, not Yamuna. The name of the river, the wife of Krishna, is Yamuna. But in this song, by Sanskrit grammatical rules, it becomes Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Or it may be almost all names of the Lord, just like we have Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written so many kirtans. Jashomati Nandana Brajabara Naga. So in that song he also sings Amala Harinam Ami Avilasa, which is a glorification of Nama Kirtan. It's not Nam in and of itself, but all the rest is simply names. Amala Harinam Ami Avilasa. Amala Harinam means the spotless or pure name of Hari. Amiya means just like Amrita, nectar, and Vilasa. So Vilasa means joyful activity. Or it may be names of the Lord and his devotees, his pastime places. Just another well-known kirtan within our movement, or within Bengali Vaishnava culture, broader Vaishnava culture, that ends with the line, Dina Krishna Dasa Kahe Nama Sankirtan. This fallen Krishna Das, he describes himself, sings Nama Kirtan. So that's Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan, Sri Govinda, Gopinath Madan Mohan, Shamakunda Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhan, Kalindi Yamuna, Jaya Jaya Mahava. So it's glorification of Krishna, Vrindavan, the forests of Vrindavan, Govardhan, and then there's a little description here and there. Just like this Jaya Dvija Patni Jaya Naga Kanya Gan Bhakti Teja Hara Pailo Govinda Chara. So he's also praising the wives of the Yagyik Brahmanas and the daughters of the snake, which means the wives of Kaliya. And he says, by bhakti they achieve the lotus feet of Govinda. So it's not all Nama Kirtan. There's little comments here and there. By bhakti they achieved Krishna, the lotus feet of Govinda, which for them was impossible, actually. The wives of the Yagyik Brahmanas, they have to follow very strictly Brahminical culture. They can't go wandering off with Krishna. But by bhakti they got him. The wives of the snake, Kaliya, they were impossible. How could they attain Krishna? Their husband was a big rascal. But they got Krishna by bhakti to him. So like that, the Nama Kirtan, it may include some little descriptions of other things. But still it's called Nama Kirtan, according to Amrakana Nanyai, or Chhatri Nyai. Amrakanana Nyai means that if there's an orchard of mango trees, there may be a few other trees there also, but still it's called a mango orchard. Or Chhatrinyai, you see people walking all holding umbrellas. A few of them may not be holding umbrellas, but you say, there go the people holding the umbrellas. So the group is defined by the predominant number in it. So Nama Kirtan, it may not be all specifically Nama, but predominantly. So Nama Kirtan. And Nama Kirtan also, apart from, just like we have the Jashamati Nandana Vrajabara Nagara Gokula Ranjana Kana. So there are many different names. Each word is a different name. But Nama Kirtan also includes this Nama Dhun, that's called in North India, where the same words are repeated again and again. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. And their kirtans, they'll go on and on and on, literally for years together. In some places they're singing the Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram for years together, non-stop. In Vrindavan there's one ashram. In Chitrakoot, I believe there are two ashrams there, where they have Akhanda Ram Dhun. So on and on sing like this. Or Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sitaram. Or Sitaram, 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 Sitaram. Sitaram, 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 Sitaram. And on and on. On and on. Chanting like this. Srila Prabhupada made this comment that the very fact that devotees go on and on and on singing this proves that these names are not ordinary names, because if you sing any other sound, you'll become tired. You get bored of it. Just like if you sing the name of some person, however much you feel attracted to that person, or you like that person, or you admire that person, after some time, not very long time, you become tired of singing it. Just like in India, maybe the most popular person at the present time is Sachin Tendulkar, probably. So if you chant, Sachin Tendulkar, Sachin Tendulkar, you'll get bored after some time. But this is supposed to be a lecture for Americans, so. Some film star, Tom Cruise, someone told me the name recently. Tom Cruise is a famous film star, so I'm told. So Tom Cruise, Tom Cruise, Tom Cruise, Tom Cruise, Tom Cruise. People wouldn't even think to sing like that, because why would you do that? I mean, even if you like the person or think that he's someone great, why would you sing the name again and again? But to sing the name of Krishna or Ram is quite natural for the devotee. And that's in every culture of the world, we'll find. There are the 99 names of Allah. We find in the Bible the name of God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread, and forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And there's a bit more, I can't. But anyway, the beginning is, hallowed be thy name. May thy name be glorified. So that's in every religious culture. And of course, followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they particularly chant the names of Krishna by the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this Maha Mantra Kirtan should be chanted daily by japa, by Kirtan, singing, Sankirtan, singing with devotees for some period. maybe half an hour at a time, or there are organized Akhanda Kirtans. In Bengal that's quite common. The minimum would be Ashtaprahar, which means 8 periods of the day, which means 24-hour kirtan. Or they may have 3 days, or usually 7 days is the matter. Kirtan festivals are organized in Bengal, where they have people singing non-stop. Or devotees may spontaneously burst into kirtan at any time. Or, as I was mentioning, in some places they have non-stop kirtan, going on for days and days and years and years. So Naam Kirtan is the most well-known and popular. There's also Guna Kirtan, describing the qualities of the Lord. Rupa Kirtan, describing the form of the Lord. And Leela Kirtan, describing the pastimes of the Lord. So these can be quite elaborate. There are many kirtaniyas in Bengal who have composed, there are many, many, thousands and thousands of songs composed by Bengali Vaishnavas in glorification of Krishna's qualities, forms, and pastimes. And in Orissa also, many, many. Leela Kirtan, that may take the form of recitation of Shastra. That's very popular in North India, recitation of Ramcharitmanas. But here we're specifically talking about singing the names of the Lord. So Krishna Leela, Gaura Leela, in Bengali Vaishnava culture, the pastimes are sung. Remember, this is poetic, so the poetry is not just some kind of writing, but it's writing in such a style that it makes the head spin. That is the qualification of poetry, that one's head should spin like this. Ah! And when that is sung, and then the effect becomes more. Then rasa is produced by poetry. It's sung. If it's sung with feeling, then the effect will be that the heart is stirred up with feelings for Krishna. So Leela Kirtan, there are 4 types: Ashtakalaya, Pala Kirtan, Gora Chandrika, and Padavali Kirtan. So in Ashtakalaya Kirtan, the singers, because Krishna has his daily pastime, he rises early in the morning. Then he has his bath, and he milks the cows, gets dressed, eats, goes out to the pasturing grounds, then goes midday for Surya Puja, and comes, plays with his friends, comes back in the evening, again bathes, again eats. He's a big eater. Has many mothers, all anxious to cook for him. So he eats well. And then in the evening he goes to sleep. That's if you're one of his mothers, you think he goes to sleep. And if you are one of his girlfriends, you happen to know that he only pretends to go to sleep, and he jumps out of the window and has pastimes all night long. So the different pastimes are described at the time of the day that they're going on. So there are kirtans. You can go through the whole 24 hours. What Krishna is doing, it's described in great detail in the kirtan. From beginning early one morning to right through the night, like this. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was relishing the songs of Chandidas, Vidyapati, Jaidev Bhavabhuti, Ramananda Rai's Jagannath Vallabh. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was relishing all of these. Now these songs, of course, the singers, they would just sing them. Means they wouldn't be looking at any book. They'll know them all. That's also qualification. If one has to speak on Ramcharitmanas, he has to, first of all, you learn it all, then you speak on it. So that was the culture. Nowadays, people have no brains and no interest in these things, unfortunately. So the singer, he was expected to know all these kirtans and sing them 24 hours. That's what he would do. Pala kirtan is when the singer he deals with one particular leela, just like Damodar leela. Often they like to sing, the most popular is Rasa leela. And he'll sing about that. And I haven't seen this, but apparently this culture is dead now. But the singer will sing it and act out the pastimes also, as he's doing that. Again, from the heart. Gaur Chandrika kirtans, written by Basu Ghosh Thakur. They're kirtans glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First you sing the Gaur Leela, and then the corresponding Krishna Leela. So you can see it's quite an elaborate culture. And Padavali kirtan means the kind of kirtans that we all know and sing regularly, songs of Narottam Das, and later Bhaktivinoda Thakur contributed so many songs. So poetry kirtan. So there's a little insight into Bengali kirtan culture. So you can see it's quite elaborate. Originally the instruments are mridanga and kartal, kol and kartal. Later so many different instruments were introduced. But the basic instruments are mridanga and kartal, which are very simple instruments. So anyone can take part in this. The kirtan culture has developed elaborately, but the basis is very simple. Simple instruments and simply sing. So theoretically everyone should be able to sing. Of course some kind of training may be needed, but basically it's very simple. And Srila Prabhupada also, he kept his kirtan style quite simple so that others can easily join in. If the kirtan style becomes very complex, and then other people, they can't join in. And the idea is we want people to join in. So generally at our programs we keep the tunes very simple so that everyone can easily join in. Because it's not the music, that the music is to serve the chanting. So to become a great musician is not a qualification for performing kirtan. Of course, the elaborate culture is there, just like the mridanga. It's a very simple instrument. But that culture is much developed to play. There are so many elaborate beats one can play on the mridanga. Even the kartal is very simple. Although even for that, many devotees, they need training how to play to make a sweet sound. Should sound like the gopis' ankle bells, not like some kind of military bell being run or something. Should sound very sweet. And you should choose the kartal so that when you clang them together, then you stop, and the sound should continue for a long time. And should be very sweet. Madhur, madhur, madhur bhaja. Sweetly sounding. Not that a good kirtan is judged by how loud it is. Sweetness, kirtan is sweet. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtans were also tumultuous and loud, but also sweet. So this kirtan, it's yoga. The yoga groups are interested in this. This is yoga. We link with Krishna. We express our heart to Krishna by singing to him. And Krishna is pleased with that. In Bengal, the call and the mridanga and kartals, and then other instruments are mentioned at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but these are the main ones. This jaja is the big wampas, they're called in ISKCON. I think that's an ISKCON invented word, like hand cymbals. But usually in ISKCON we play them right, so loud. But there's another way you can play them, like this also. It makes a different sound, which isn't very loud. And there's also in kirtans, ghanta, that's mentioned in the Gauravati kirtan song. So ghanta, that means bell, or that can mean this gong also. That's also called ghanta. So various instruments may be used. In modern Bengali kirtan, harmonium is wide, all in North India, everywhere, harmonium, very widely used. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he didn't like that, because actually from the musical standpoint it's very limiting. It very much limits the number of rags that can be played, so I'm told. Violin, all these instruments have been introduced. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, traditionally this kol and kartal in North India, this dholak, which is similar to what they hear in South India, they call mridanga, like a wooden drum. And like that kartal, they have this manjira, so it's like kartals also. There are various sects within Bengali Vaishnavism, so the Bawals have become famous, for they have their own style of kirtan. They're all different groups, they're all different style of kirtan. Bawals are wandering minstrels who they play this ektar, which is a one-stringed instrument. They wander here and there and sing. I've heard in Bangladesh Allah kirtan. Now in strict Islam you're not supposed to sing at all. But I've heard in the villages people singing, and as I was walking at night, I heard, oh, what's that they're singing, and I heard there was kirtan, but the word Allah kept on coming like this. One time in Calcutta, I saw a big group of kirtan group, and I was in the streets of Calcutta and listening what they're singing. And it was Christian kirtan. And then I thought, oh, it's 25th of December. It's Christmas Day to them. They had a big, they celebrated with a big Harinam Sankirtan. But not a Jizunam Sankirtan. So that public kirtan, that was introduced by, maybe not introduced, but very much popularized by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Going out in public and chanting the names of Krishna. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's method of bringing people to Krishna. Let them hear the name of Krishna. Let them experience the joy of kirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would personally go in the early morning. We don't go in early morning because we chant our japa at that time. But that was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process. Udilo arana purava bhage. Dijamani Gaura Amani Jage Bhakata Shamoha Loya Shate Gela Nagara Braja. Just as the Aruna Arunadai, the first rays of the sun are coming. So, very poetically put, Udila Arana, Aruna's risen, Purabha Bhage in the eastern side, Dvijamani Gora, Amani Jaga, he also got up in the same way. Bhakata Shamoha Loya Shate Gelo Nagara Braja. So you can see, it's very poetic. Just as the Aruna, the sun rays, arose, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arose, and taking all his devotees, he went in the nearby towns and villages. Tatoi, tatoi, bajalo khol, ghana ghana tahe, janjararo. Not crash, crash. Preme dhala dhala, shonara anga, charane nupura baje. So this mridanga, tattoi, tattoi, those who are expert, they can make these sounds on the mridanga. The expert mridanga players, they can make it, the mridanga speak. Sounds like it's speaking. Tatoi, tatoi, bajalo kol, ghana, ghana. The sound of the cymbals. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body is shivering in ecstasy. His golden body. And on his ankles, the bells are tinkling. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sankirtan. You can also, when you go on Sankirtan in the street, you can also dress someone as Sita, someone as Rama, someone as Nrisimha. You can do this. Very colorful, joyful, festive. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan method. So big kirtan groups. Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to have stadiums for kirtan. Now people fill up the stadiums and they glorify cricket players. But we should have all the people come and glorify Krishna. But even without any facility, without any temple, anyone, anywhere can glorify Krishna. That's so nice about kirtan, that you don't have to make any elaborate arrangement. You don't have to be trained very much what to do. You don't have to belong to any particular caste like a Brahmin to do worship. Anyone, anywhere, anytime can perform kirtan. And we see it's even now, if you go in the, I've seen in Calcutta, in the evening, you could just walking around in some neighborhood and people are performing. This was some time ago. Now they're watching TV. But families, they would perform kirtan, or a few families would come together like this. Maybe sometimes just two. I've seen in Puri once, I was walking one evening and I just heard some faint ding ding. I followed inside some building and there was little temple. Actually what it is, these are previously temples, but then some rascal sold off the temple to some businessman, and there's big hotels there, but they still have to keep some little temple. Actually it's supposed to be all for the temple, but now it's all a hotel. There's Shatashana Mutt. It's like, so it's found there's just two people just doing kirtan in some little temple away from the street. Like this. And they'll be doing that every day. One will sing, the other will respond like this. So maybe many people are even without instruments. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this, Kirtan karaha shabe hate tali diya. You can all perform kirtan just by clapping hands. That's kartal. Kara means hand, and tal means keeping the beat, clapping. So very easy, very. And in many ways, there's small kirtans, they're often more sweet also. Can be very sweet. Big kirtans can be very ecstatic. Small kirtans can often be very sweet. In the modern age we also get commercial kirtan, which is not sweet. It may be superficially sweet. It's made to sound sweet by sweet singers and good musicians, but the aim is to make that people will enjoy it. It's not offered for the pleasure of Krishna. So commercial kirtan is fake. Real kirtan can never be commercial. Pure kirtan is synonymous with pure bhakti. Who can sing nicely for Krishna who has got a pure heart? Not who can sing in a melodious voice. So this kirtan culture was established in the West by Srila Prabhupada in 1965. It's now spread. We're starting in 1965. It's spread all over the world. There are many instruments that can be used, but Srila Prabhupada always emphasized this. Madanga and kartal and simple kirtan, simple instruments, simple dancing style, not very elaborate, simple. And Srila Prabhupada spoke exhaustively on pure bhakti. He spoke, what is pure bhakti? Without understanding that, we cannot properly perform kirtan. Of course, everyone is invited to join kirtan. We don't say that first you have to take a bhakti shastri class and then you perform kirtan. Everyone is invited to join. But hearing about Krishna should go on with chanting the names of Krishna, because we have to properly know who we are glorifying. We can't properly glorify someone if we don't know who they are. If you say, someone comes along and some group comes down the road and they're calling out Jai Kiran, Jai Kiran, and we may think, oh, okay, I'll join them. Jai Kiran, Jai Kiran. You don't know who Kiran is or what they're chanting about, but just it seems attractive, so you join it. So people may chant the name of Krishna, but they don't really have any proper understanding. They can't. That's good for them if they chant, because even without knowing, the effect will be there. But for the full effect, one has to know who is Krishna. If we don't properly know who is Krishna, we might chant the names of Krishna and get a very wrong effect. Bahu janma jadi kare. On one hand, the statement of Chaitanya Charitamrita is Anayashe bhavakoi Krishna shevan. A Krishna name pae eto dhan. That very easily one can get free from birth and death and can attain service to Krishna. A Krishna name phale pae eto dhan. That one can get so much valuable gain as the result of chanting the name of Krishna even once. But on the other hand, as is also stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bahu janma kare jadi shravan kirtan tabuta napai Krishna pade premadam. That one can also go on for many, many lifetimes hearing and chanting about Krishna and not get the wealth of love of Krishna. If one doesn't develop the required consciousness. So one should hear regularly about Krishna. Who is Krishna? Why are we glorifying Krishna? Krishna means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are His servants. If we chant with any other understanding, then we won't get the actual result of chanting the name of Krishna. Just like there's one so-called incarnation of God who is presently in the hospital and is about to die. The sooner the better. Well, maybe not. His is a case of ma jiva, ma mara. Don't live and don't die. If he lives, he's abominable. And if he dies, he has to suffer so much for all his sins. So better he doesn't live and better he doesn't die. Better for him to go to the impersonal Brahman. But no question for him. But many people chant Jai Govinda, Jai Govinda, Jai Govinda, Jai Govinda, Jai Gopala, Jai Gopala, Jai Gopala, Jai Gopala, thinking that this almost dead avatar, so-called avatar, is Govinda and Gopala. That's the style of chanting they do. So they're chanting the name Govinda and Gopala, but they're thinking that this rascal is Govinda and Gopala. So they don't get the result that proper devotees get, because they're actually offensive to Krishna. So one should know properly who is Krishna. Therefore, hearing about Krishna from bona fide sources is required, along with chanting the names of Krishna. Any question about this? Yeah. In Naga Sankirtan, we can dress devotees in different. That's right. One time Prabhupada said not to do that. Another occasion he said to do it. You can see some of the old footage of kirtans. Have you seen that? Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, one time he said to do it, another time he said not to. It may be that in the often things that Srila Prabhupada allowed in the early days, then later he said not to do. So it seems like which he said to do earlier, and then he said not to do. So maybe we'll withdraw that one. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada said that the men can wear silk turbans when they go on Harinam. The idea that to look festive, joyful. This is joyful dharma. Mostly people promote religion that you join this religion, otherwise you'll burn in hell. And just we'll burn you here also. Mostly, what's called religion in the modern age, it's mostly tamasic, envious. But this is joyful. People will be attracted. People, if people are a little open-minded, they can understand that this is something genuine, because it's especially if we give books of Vedic philosophy, Krishna conscious books, along with that. So, no more questions. All right. Mm. Hmm. Good question. A devotee comes and he sings some things which Prabhupada didn't want us to sing. These kinds of things can happen. Should we follow or not? Well, there was one instance of, I know, where one devotee went to a temple and he sung some line. All devotees were chanting with him, Hare Krishna, then he sung some line and then everyone was quiet. I looked around and then one devotee said to him, that, oh, we don't sing this here. Then he understood and he went on with Hare Krishna. So, you can do this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hari Hari. You please pray. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,